Our Old Testament lesson is found in the book of Proverbs, great book on wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 1 and following. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue with the series on family matters, and this morning we're looking at a father's love, tough and tender qualities of a father. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these four businessmen who are sitting on a hospital bench because their wives were having babies. And so the nurse comes in to the first businessman said, congratulations, your wife just had a baby. And the man said, well, what a coincidence, I'm the president of AND1. And so the nurse walked away, and then the nurse comes back a little while later, and she looks at the second businessman and said, congratulations, you had twins. And he looks it out, and he smiles and says, well, that's amazing, I'm the owner of the Minnesota Twins. And so the nurse walks away and comes back a little while later, and she looks at the third businessman and said, congratulations, you've got triplets. And he said, well, man, that's amazing, I work for Triple Crown. And the nurse came back a little while later, and the fourth businessman was sitting there in tears crying, and she said, what's wrong? He said, well, I work for 7-Up. Well, you know, being a father is a wonderful miracle. I try to make it the top priority of my life, right next to my relationship to God, and even before my work as a pastor. And many times today in the world that looks so much at the accolades of prosperity and power and riches and fame, why our roles as parents gets moved down a few rungs. And God's word encouraged us to be mothers and fathers of faith, and that duty, that responsibility is incredibly important. And it's so important to me that I'll be taking a vacation on Father's Day, so I'm not working that day and spending time with my daughter. But I wanted to leave you with what I think is an important role of fathers. And a lot of times people will look at me and they'll say, you know, I'm a little frustrated because the Bible doesn't offer a lot of encouragement on parents. It doesn't have a lot of good role models on parents. And fathers are certainly true. I mean, you look at King David, a lot of great qualities, but he was not the best father. And you think some of the great people in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul, well, he didn't have a true biological son, even though he had Timothy as a son in the faith. And so we look at parenting and we say, we don't get a glimpse of that. But what I try to encourage them is I say, listen, there's a whole book on parenting in the Bible. And they always say, what is that? And I said, it's the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot on parenting. In fact, if you look, almost every chapter begins, my son or my daughter. And so this morning, we're going to look at chapter 3 and chapter 4, walk through them. And there's four qualities that I'd like you to remember about being a good father. The first is that we're to be men of truth. And then we're to be tough and tender, and we're to be trustworthy. And so let's dive in. First is that good fathers are to be men of truth. It's so important to be men of truth, and women too, of course, but this morning we're focusing on fathers. And, you know, in the culture today, you hear so much about folks who lack integrity, and maybe they're people of great position and power and a lot of fame, and then all of a sudden you hear about an indiscretion, or they said a lie, and then they had to tell another lie to follow up that lie. And someone once said, no one has a good enough memory to be a good liar. But the truth is, if we're men and women of integrity, we don't have to worry about that. If we just tell the truth, it's so important. And today you hear words like fake news out there. And so we wonder about maybe the media or just people manipulating the media. And the truth is that we need to be men of integrity, men of truth. And I think that one of the most important things we can do as fathers is to look at our sons and daughters and say, listen, be people of integrity. And it starts young, and it starts in the small things of life. And if you do the small things right, and you're honest about those things, then you'll grow up and you'll have integrity someday in your relationships and in your place of where you work and in all of life. And it's so very, very important. Listen to the way that this great book of wisdom that's edited by the great King Solomon says this. And it says to son, but it could be son or daughter easily. So, of course, as a father of a daughter, then I always remember a daughter. So, my son or daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. But it's not just truth in telling the truth. And of course, we can't just speak words of truth. We have to live a life of truth and integrity. But it's also truth with a capital T. In other words, truth, the ultimate importance in God. And of course, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and life. But listen to what he says here. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruit of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, your vats brim with new wine. You know, it's so important to be men and women of truth. And if we are, there's a blessing that God gives us. And so in our own life, to be a place, to be a family of faith that lifts up truth, lifts up integrity is important. And it's something we need to share with our sons and our daughters. And we need to live a life they can see both that we're men and women of integrity, people of truth, but also that we serve God, the ultimate truth. So to be men of truth, and then fathers are tough. Now, in the ancient Near East, why the father's primary role oftentimes was to be the protector and defender and provider of the family, also the one who is the tough. And I don't know about your family out there, but my father was also the disciplinarian in our house. My mom was pretty tough. But the ultimate threat in our home was, wait till your father gets home. Anyone else ever heard, wait till your father gets home? And that was a threat that was real in my family. And I don't practice, physical punishment. We have boundaries and things like that. But I grew up in a home in which that was sort of old school, and my father was old school about that. And, there's not a lot of great roles in TV today with fathers and being, good disciplinarians in the right amount. But in my own life, I remember there's a point where we would just worry about Dad coming home. And one time, we had this, I grew up in a country, and we had, my father had built this pond that was 3/4 acre big. We, cleared out the trees and had the bulldozers come in, and we had 3 springs in that pond, and we just had great summer hours playing in the pond, and my father would be away. And then my mom worked third shift when I was growing up, and so she slept during the day. So we just had a great time during the day, Dad was away, mom was sleeping. And one of the things we did was my father had this 8 to 10 foot pram, which is a small boat with a blunted front end and back, and he had a project where he refiberglassed that boat. But like a lot of my father's projects, it never really got done. And for this one, the keel never got put back on that little boat. And so it didn't have a keel. And so we also had a 20 horsepower motor that my father had rebuilt, an outboard motor. So we used to put that on during the day on the back of this little pram with no keel on it. And all the teenagers would line the side of the pond, and then one person would get in the boat and lie down, and we would put the motor all the way to one side so it would just spin around and make this big wave. And then they'd cheer, and then we'd try to flip. We'd get dizzy, and then we'd flip it with our feet so the motor went the other way, and it used to rock and do all kinds of stuff, and it'd spin the other way, and people would laugh and cheer, and then it was someone else's turn. So one day, I was in a boat, and they were all cheering and going in, and I just took my foot, and I flipped it the other way, and it rocked and whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's like in slow motion, the outboard motor came off the back of the boat, and it went down, and I looked, and I just saw it in slow motion with bubbles going down, and our pond had a mud bottom, and you couldn't see the bottom, and so it went at an angle, because it was still spinning, and it went down, and then it died. The bubble stopped, and we thought, uh-oh, it's 3 o'clock, and Dad comes home at 4, this is bad. And so we scrambled our own diving expedition to find the boat motor. It was about 12 feet deep. We couldn't find it. It was muddy. We looked everywhere. Couldn't find the boat motor. We kind of figured out the coordinates where it went down. So finally my dad comes home. I just thought, this is going to be brutal. And so he said, how's everything? And I was like, well, not very good. You're never going to believe this. We're just out with the boat, motor just going around a little bit, and the motor fell off. And my dad, the motor fell off. Just, yeah, you're not going to believe it. And so he kind of looks like that look, and I said, well, we might have been, going around a little bit, circles. So he figured out, so I thought, this is going to be the end of the world for me. But my dad, what was great about that, so he made us empty the pond partway, and then he got out his dive gear and went down, and And he found it wasn't nearly where we thought it was, because, of course, the propeller was still going as it went down into the deal. But it was kind of like, all right, now what you need to do is you're going to help me rebuild the engine. And in a way, that was a good moment. I mean, it was discipline, but it wasn't, you know, like getting, you know, swatted with the yardstick or anything. But it was, all right, now we're going to rebuild this. We've got to take this whole engine apart, because, of course, it sucked in all this water. But, you know, as fathers, we need to have boundaries with our kids. And we can't just shirk it off on the spouse, but we need to have boundaries and then consequences when someone does something that help us learn and build character in the lives of our young people. And listen to this part of discipline that's in this passage. In verse 11 and following, it says this: "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By the wisdom of the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the earth and heaven in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let the dew drop. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discipline." And it ends with, "For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous." And there's just beautiful kind of weaving in there discipline and the importance of discipline. The importance of discipline in building character in our young people, a discipline that works and it meets the situation. Dr. Henry Cloud is one of the foremost people on boundaries in the world of psychology, and he's also a Christian. And then his co-author with him, Dr. Townsend, and they write some books on boundaries. And he says this: "Every human being must have boundaries in order to have successful relationships or successful performance in life." You know, being a good parent doesn't mean let your kids do whatever they want. It's to have boundaries that make sense according to God's word and the rules of your family, and then to have some consequences that help them build character and grow as young people. And so if we don't do that, then they come to a disaster point in their life where there's something big, and then the law is going to step in and do that for you. But if we build boundaries where young people are small, then as they grow, they become young men and women of character. So the third thing is that fathers are tender. And I think in our own culture, that's probably the toughest thing for most fathers. I mean, I grew up in a home which my father really didn't say, "I love you." I mean, it was old school kind of thing. And I think really it was only in kind of his later moments in life that he said, "I love you." And when you look at Jesus, who was someone who was tough, I mean, sometimes we think of the tender qualities of Jesus, but he was also tough. He was a tough carpenter. But he was able to express his love to the disciples and all people. When he prayed to the Heavenly Father, he said, pray like this: "Abba, Father," which was daddy, was the term. And so he is the example of love. Listen to these tender words from Proverbs chapter 4, and it's written in a beautiful, tender way. "Listen, my sons or daughters, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will be a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown.'" Sort of a beautiful tenderness and all that, and this father's pouring out his heart and soul to his son in this moment. Fathers need to be tough, but we also need to be tender. We need to say, "I love you." For me, I make sure that the last thing I say to my daughter every single night is, "I love you." And I say that usually more than once. And so each and every day, not just be tough, but to be tender as fathers and parents. I love this story of Ted Kruger, and he shares, he's a journalist, and he says this, and I want to read it because it's beautiful. He says, "I have many memories about my father, about growing up with him in our apartment next to elevated train tracks. For 20 years, we listened to the roar of the train as it passed by his bedroom window. Late at night, he waited alone on the tracks for the train that took him to his job at a factory where he worked the night shift. On this particular night, I waited him in the dark to say goodbye. His face was grim. His youngest son had been drafted. He would be sworn in at 6 the next morning while he stood at a paper cutting machine in the factory. My father had talked about his anger. He didn't want them to take his child, his youngest child, only 19 years old, who'd never had a drink or smoked a cigarette, to fight a war in Europe. He placed his hand on my slim shoulder and said, "You be careful, and if you ever need anything, write to me, and I will see that you get it." And suddenly he heard the roar of the approaching train. He held me tightly in his arms and gently kissed me on the cheek, and with tear-filled eyes he murmured, "I love you, my son." The train arrived, the doors closed, me inside, and he disappeared into the night. 1 month later, at age 46, my father died. I'm 76 years old as I sit and write this, and I once heard Pete Hamill, the great New York Times reporter, say, "The memories are man's greatest inheritance," and I have to agree. I've lived through 4 invasions in World War II and had a life full of all kinds of experiences, but the only memory that lingers is the night my father said, "I love you, my son." Beautiful. Our lives as fathers are examples of love, and we embody love to our children, and many times we're sort of an image of God, and so our love to our kids is so important. And finally, fathers are trustworthy. You know, that kind of brings it all together. Are we ones that our children can trust, and are we the people that do what we say when we say something? And if you look at Jesus, as he's teaching the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, the fuller context of the verse that Christy read gives this incredible moment of trust, where Jesus gives the example that he trusts the Heavenly Father and encourages us and challenges us to know that God loves us and God can be trusted for our needs. Listen to what Jesus says. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Beautiful encouragement that we're people who trust God to provide for all of our needs, and that God's trustworthy, and that we should be trustworthy too. Listen to these words from this great chapter on wisdom in the book of Proverbs. "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot in the path of wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot resist until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. But the path of righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. My son or daughter, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, and keep them within your heart. They are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." What great words of wisdom. Guard your heart, for everything else flows from it. We're to be fathers that are men of truth, men who are tough in the right way, men who are tender, who can say, "I love you," and people who are trustworthy as well. And if I was to add one more quality to that, I would say it's time. Time. You know, being a parent takes a lot of time. And I know in my own life, and in a culture that values busyness and prominence and power rather than parenting, that it's important to make parenting a priority in our lives. And one of the reasons I'm going on vacation during Father's Day is to do that. But, you know, it takes a lot of time to do that. One of the things that I value most in my life is that for my daughter to treasure, maybe even after I'm gone, is that before she was born, I started writing these diaries of moments in my life and her life, and so I try to take time and to write a little letter to her, and I have now four volumes that I'm working on, but you know, each incident in life, why I write something down, and sometimes I write a prayer, and that's part of my legacy to her, is those diaries that I've written, and not necessarily eloquent, but they're certainly from the heart. But each and every one of us, it takes time to be a father, and it takes time out from other things. But the truth is, what we do and the investment we make in our kids is the most important investment we can make in all of our lives. I want to close with this true story. Charles Francis Adams was a 19th century political figure and diplomat, and he kept a busy life, but he had a diary. And one day he entered this in his diary: "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence to this day. And on that very same day, he made this entry in his diary: "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." You know, the time and investment we have in our kids, sometimes it's just a little thing that we're doing makes all the difference in their life. And so I challenge us to be fathers, certainly mothers too, but since it's Father's Day that I'm talking about and family matters, why? To be men of truth. You know, Jesus was a person of great truth. And then Jesus was tough. He was a carpenter, but he was also tender. And he blessed little children, and he told the disciples that he loved them and told us that we love them. And Jesus was trustworthy, and you and I need to be men like that, men of truth, men who are tough but also tender, men who are trustworthy and deserves an investment to be a priority of our lives. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, in a world that, in a culture that just lifts up power and prestige and even busyness sometimes as the best values in life, help us to realize that being a parent is one of the most important things that you have given us the responsibility for. So help us to treasure that and to pour our lives into it. And the truth is that we're always fathers, even when our children grow up. And so help us to be good fathers and good grandfathers. Help us to be men of truth, and men that are tough but also tender, and men that are trustworthy, and men that take time to pour our lives into our kids and our grandkids and to teach them about your love and the great lessons of life. Help us to treasure that. And we know it's a responsibility that we have to stretch for many times, but help us to be willing to raise the bar, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and that you loved us so much that you sent Christ Jesus, our Lord, into the world to give his life that we could be reconciled as a family of faith and to know your love and grace each and every day, and that you give us your spirit and your power to live out your promises. In Christ's name, amen.